Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup, man. We're having a great time, and we're about to have much more fun with our guy, Brian Monson, HuskerLang.com. B, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, the sky's falling in Lincoln right now.
What's up?
Sad people. Trev took a tradition away. No more balloons.
I heard something about that. Yeah, there has been some blowback on that one a little bit, hasn't there? Is it all related to the helium shortage?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the helium shortage. We'll say that's what it is.
I think they don't want to. I don't think they want to be canceled by all these environmentalists.
Yeah, the
that's
birds,
my take on
the
it.
South Dakota birds.
Those dolphins in Nebraska will be happy for it.
They will. They'll be very happy.
I want to play one for you. This is one in Channel 8, right? Channel 8 had this.
Channel 8 News.
This is the best reaction I think we've gotten so far. This is a fan that they obviously, when this announcement came out, you know what everybody does. They run down to the Haymarket, right, and be like, all right, what do you think about the balloons? And this guy, I want to see what your thought is. Like, this is the guy, the sky is falling when you hear this.
Hold on one second.
It's coming.
I got nothing. Hold on.
Come on.
Sorry. Here. All right. Here is the audio that Hooks wants. Here it is.
I think maybe Trev Alvarez should be fired.
Well, you know, I mean, this is a thing that's been going on forever. And, you know, you come in here and, I mean, Trev Alvarez should be the one that kind of knows this is an important game day tradition. And I'm not understanding why he would do this.
All right.
Get Trev out of here. Trev should go.
Trev needs to walk the plank for acing the balloons on game day, huh? That's what we're saying?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Hey, look, I'm a traditionalist, much like many of you. However, not having a balloon up in the air doesn't make anything any less prideful when it comes to Nebraska scoring their first touchdown. Been here before, you know, where they've had a helium shortage. Also had no fans in the stands 2 years ago, so weren't any balloons then either. So I just think everybody always has to calm their knee-jerk reactions a little bit. I would be way more focused on less things that Trev Alberts has directly under his control and more about what the NCAA and the NIL and Saban and Jimbo and what they're talking and debating about and how it's going to change the landscape of college football. Get really focused on the things and the issues that are really going to impact everyone.
I think Trev was embarrassed over the last couple of years and not letting the balloons off to the second quarter.
Well, there's probably some preventative maintenance there, right? Where you can say, look, I don't have to have the balloons hanging around until, you know, the start, minute 16, minute 17. I get it. Things are changing, but things aren't just changing on that front. And if it does mean anything for the environment, then great. And if there is a shortage, then I understand. But, man, I don't balloons and the tradition at Nebraska on game day, I would probably put balloons somewhere down around in my number 20 to 30 range. Mm-hmm. You know, like when it came to like all the things that make Lincoln great on a Saturday, it wouldn't make the top 25.
Again, we're speaking to Brian Monson, HuskerLang.com. Brian, it's been a very fruitful few days for Nebraska, especially on the defensive line. We all know O'Shawn Mathis. He's in town now. You got Drew, who will be in town at some point as he finishes up down at Texas Tech. But then you get word. You land the commitment from Alabama transfer Stephon Wynn. That defensive line, we'll talk about Wynn a little bit. And then now that defensive line, which you're like, oh, we lost so-and-so and so-and-so and so. Ooh, what are we going to do? Is now super interesting up front.
it does get a little more interesting up front. I think that they've picked up another great guy that can provide some rotational value, some fresh legs. You know, Ty Robinson now has got some help up there playing that zero, and I think that they're both kind of, you know, they're very similar kind of guys. They are, and I've had a chance to watch a little film on Stephon. Stephon has an ability to take on multiple blockers, and he has ways to shed blockers, and he has ways to kind of play the play straight up to take on blockers to free up other guys, and he has ways to kind of free himself up and get through blocks to make tackles. And I think he's also incredibly instinctual as a defensive lineman. I think he has had ways of kind of seeing things develop and move certain ways to put himself in a position to where he can go ahead and make tackles. He is primarily a run stopper. He is a guy that's going to plug up the middle, and I think that that's really good when it comes to, you know, Nebraska's strength. I think when you start talking about the way things return from last year to this year, this coming season, middle linebacker was really going to be an interesting spot where you really felt like there were a couple guys there that were young last year that played out of their minds. And if they had some help, you know, some bigger guys up front, you know, like Daniels, like Steely, that they were losing, that were helping keep those blockers off of that second level, it would really help with having basically those active guys up front that were able to make plays all over the place. So now you're putting some guys in front of them that will allow them to continue to do that. And I think that this all really sets up very well for both the second level and the third level, which I think there's pressure on both of those spots quite a bit from who they had to replace from the super seniors and the guys that just ultimately left.
We're talking to Brian Munson. So you expect all three of those dudes, O'Shawn Mathis, Drew, and then Wynn, you expect all of them to be, you know, playing starter minutes this upcoming season?
Starter minutes? I think that there's going to be good rotation there. I don't know who's going to get the lion's share of it. I think Mathis is absolutely going to. I think that there, you start talking then about ways that you can get, you know, Ty and Win on the field at the same time. I think then you start talking about, you know, Drew, who I think is another very active kind of three technique. So you can kind of roll between that 4-3 to a 3-4. And I think you have other players that obviously figure into here that we're not even discussing right now, but we're only talking about the transfers and Ty Robinson so far to kind of bring it all together. But I think that you want to find six guys, preferably seven, that you can kind of move things between and rotate guys in there freely and not feel like you have any kind of let up between the two, and you can keep legs fresh, because I think that that's ultimately what takes the pressure off of everything else in the defense, is when you have consistency up front, your guys aren't winded, and you've got ways to kind of rotate those guys through to make sure that you can kind of keep that going. So I think whether you're starting or not, those minutes probably are going to be very, very similar. And it's a little bit of a unique situation, but I think Nebraska wants to find a way to keep those guys fresh up front.
Hey, Brian, when you look at the guys that have come in, and obviously you look at their tape, you look at all the good stuff that comes with it, how much street cred do you think that you get when a transfer and you see the name Alabama behind it? Because you got two of them in this cycle.
There's a lot of credibility there. You know, particularly since you got kind of, in my opinion, you got kind of two guys that are looking at the situation vastly differently. You got Keane that's more of a long-term guy, and Stephon is more of a short-term guy. They're looking for similar things, but not the same things when it comes to making this decision. And Keane's looking for, you know, I think Stephon needed to find a way to get in front of some of the guys that were there at Alabama. Tough to do. But you can take your ability, your talent, to a place where they're looking for immediate help, and you can get on the football field in a very good conference and get noticed right away. So you can go do that at Nebraska, and then King is looking for a scenario where maybe he's not pigeonholed as a complete safety and a special teams guy. Maybe he's a guy that can that can play a variety of places in the secondary, which will allow him to kind of then get his draft stock to really get back up to where he felt like coming out of high school he had a chance to go do. I think Wynn has got that already going on for him. I think people have already scouted him. I think they already feel like he's a dude that he could make some noise, you know, in the NFL draft next year. I don't know how, if he's necessarily all that, you know, like a first day or second day guy, but a guy that's draftable. And I think that he's looking for a way to kind of bolster his stock and get a little bit more prepared and he's got good rubber on the tires, guys. I mean, that's maybe like one of the most important things here that people are not talking about. He should have plenty of gas in the tank because of the guys that were playing in front of him, the time that he did get on the field there at Alabama. It was split. You know, he wasn't getting the kind of time he's going to get in Lincoln this fall. So that should really, really help him out to being fresh and being ready to go this fall. But then I think with Kane, he needed to add some tools to the toolbox. And then he needed a place to kind of demonstrate his ability. And that's why he's coming to Nebraska.
We're talking to Brian Munson with HuskerOnline.com. So everybody is wondering and talking about Marcus Washington, the wide receiver down in Texas. You know, there was a tweet yesterday saying that he was going to commit to Nebraska, but there's no official word from really anybody, including Washington. Right. But, you know, do you have an update for us on Marcus and if who, you know, is it real? Could he be committing to Nebraska?
Well, I know this. He didn't want to talk to me on Sunday, and was pretty flat out brash about that one. And then, as of yesterday and to this morning, no official word yet. Marcus still doesn't want to talk to me. I do believe that there's at least one other team that's possibly, you know, in the picture here for Marcus. While I think Nebraska probably still goes back and is still trying to figure out internally, you know, if this is the right scenario for them to kind of go this way, is wide receiver the right spot, the right spot that they want to kind of go ahead and grab a guy. So I think that there's some internal review, and I think Utah would be the one school that could potentially still, you know, stick their nose in there and get Marcus maybe to take a visit out there. I think everybody's up against the clock. I know that, like you said, O'Shawn's already in Lincoln. I know when I talked to King Williams a couple of weeks ago, he was headed up, I think, last week as well. Like the 21st is what he told me, 22nd. So he was already headed up to Lincoln. I'm sure they're wanting to try to get all the players back in Lincoln as quickly as possible so they can get them back into the program and get those guys conditioning and working towards getting ready for the fall. So Marcus is going to have to figure out very quickly about where he's going to go, and it may come down to viable options.
You don't have to tell us the name or anything, but what is, like you said, it was pretty obvious that he doesn't want to talk to you. Explain. Not with him, but is that the most brash it's ever been? I'm like, hey, no comment, click.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, so he visited Nebraska back in 2018, in September 2018. About a week later, he just committed to Texas. But I tried to get a hold of Marcus to get a follow-up on his visit. And I still had all of his unread, you know, Twitter DMs that I could see that he didn't even bother looking at. I had I still had his phone number in my contacts. Nothing got responded to. Never got him to answer the phone call. On Sunday, I did get him to answer a text message, and I just said, hey, Marcus, I said, do you have some time to talk about? No. I called him, and he texted me back. That's what happened. I called him, and he texted me back. He's like, I just got off the plane. Who is this? And I texted back and said, this is, you know, Brian Munson from Rivals. I wanted to talk to you about the trip to Nebraska. Do you have some time? And it was a one-word answer, no.
Okay. Okay,
center. And that was all I got. And at least I got confirmation that he had been getting my messages up to that point just because the number was right. But, I think that what you're all just going to see is just a – If he is in at some point, it'll just be the skull and crossbones coming through the Nebraska football Twitter, you know, feed, and that would be about all we needed to kind of understand who that's for.
Yeah, maybe some kids are just like that. But one kid that you did get a chance and you got a great article on HuskerOnline.com about was Caden Green, 4-star. He made his official visit to Nebraska, and apparently by this, Nebraska has set the bar high. Right now, on his visit, he detailed it. You guys detailed it in the article together. He will be taking, four more, I believe, and that's Oklahoma, LSU, Miami, and Missouri, who will have to fend off Talk about his visit and what it was like to sit down with him.
First of all, he's probably about as available a four-star recruit as I have ever worked with before. Says a ton to me about him as a person. Secondly, I think his value to Nebraska has increased. I've seen the changes. They're immediate. They're identifiable. When you put up this picture from a year ago to the way he looks now, look at his picture that he took up against Coach Raiola on Sunday.
Huge.
Not only just is he like huge, long, you know, and really put together, but he's changed his body composition. He wasn't carrying around a huge amount of bad weight, but he had some bad weight on there, and that's typical for a guy that age. It's being asked to play that spot, and you have that length, and you want to kind of, you know, there's some things about at that level where, you know, leverage and weight and kind of understanding how this stuff all kind of comes together. But then he's turned the page in his book away from bad body mass to better body mass, and trying to really kind of elevate his game and get his endurance up and kind of put himself in a position to play at more of a peak performance shape. And I think that is commendable. Cause I think a lot of guys would just rode that one out, said, hey, I'm a four-star guy. I got all these dudes sniffing on me, and I can pretty much go anywhere I want to in the country, and I'll just address anything that they want me to do whenever I get there. He's going to have the work habits. He's going to have a better body. He's going to be in better shape. He's putting himself in a position to be considered immediately in the fall. Once he comes to campus, he could put himself in a position to play immediately. So that being said, I caught up with him, I caught up with Doss, and I caught up with Edwards all on Sunday. But Caden, you know, while he's very available, he's also very guarded when it comes to, you know, the words. Because the answer to that question when he said that Nebraska set the bar high, I asked him to rate the visit, and he really wouldn't give a rating. And he just kind of stopped and said, this was a good one to start out with, because the bar has been set so high for what all the other schools had to do. So, you know, people always ask about what the advantages are of being first. Nebraska understands that because there's always a wow factor about those guys coming to Nebraska, no matter if you're the third time like Caden was this last weekend or the first time. There's a wow factor, Nebraska tends to capitalize on that very well. And you had three guys come in together, Dylan, Dawson, and Green. They all know each other. They've known each other for like 5 to 6 years apiece. They had this prearranged that Nebraska wanted all three of those guys to visit. They were all coming to Lincoln together on that one weekend, and Nebraska rolled the red carpet out for them this last weekend.
You know, I was going to ask you that because, I you got all these great articles out right now. How important was that? Because you had, like you said, Green, Doss, and Edwards, who have all known each other since like 6th or 7th grade, and they lined this up on purpose for them three to be here together to do the same, you know, see this, you know, the same stuff, right? They got the red carpet for all three of them. Bill Bush, obviously, on the recruiting side, I believe, for Doss and maybe a couple of the other ones. But I mean, that's got to be a little bit of importance when you have all three guys who know each other. It could, I don't know, I'm going to say it's a package deal, but who knows?
Well, I mean, if you go back through like Dylan Edwards' feed, I think that he sent over messages at least to Doss saying, let's play together, you know, and this is a conversation piece that these guys are at least are talking about. And I thought it was really interesting in talking to Edwards and Doss, because Nebraska was the only official visit that either one of those guys has set up at the moment. So they're kind of going off the cadence that Caden has when it comes to one official visit in May and four in June. But I mean, at the same time, it's like they're taking some direction, but they're putting some thought into it around just one school, and that's Nebraska. And I thought that was really telling about all of it when it comes to how those guys are kind of functioning, how they're kind of moving forward, and how they're communicating. Nebraska got very special consideration to get all three of those guys together for that one weekend. I thought the other thing that was interesting, too, was that Caden did do some jockeying around with his top five. So Miami is out. LSU is in. He set that last official visit then to LSU. And then I expect for him to probably make a commitment. You know, he said he was going to announce his commitment date here in the coming weeks. I would expect for it to be, you know, a week or two after the 4th of July.
We're talking to Brian Munson with HuskerOnline.com. And can you, do you have any idea of what, you know, the coaching staff is kind of looking at right now in, with recruiting, you know, what they're trying to address? I know it's tough with the portal because you never know what could leave, but do you kind of have an idea or seeing the kind of strategy these coaches are putting on the recruiting trail and what they're trying to get?
I think that the, what they've got going right now is they've kind of got a pecking order. You know, you had Green coming in, you had Doss coming in, you had Edwards coming in. I think arguably you could say all three of those guys are on top of the board at each one of their respective positions. The following week, you know, you start to bring in a commitment like not the following week because you got Memorial Day, but the week after, so the first weekend in June, you know, you bring in Bo Hewley, the Georgia commitment that was there for the spring game. Probably right there is a take if Nebraska could go ahead and get him, but you're bringing in Gatula at the same time and you're bringing in Knutson. So you've got this kind of second wave of things kind of going on. And, you know, I think Nebraska has done some excellent things with kind of arranging their board in a way of kind of prioritizing it. And I think that what they're doing is they're trying to get the point across to those guys about, you know, where they're at when it comes to their list. And you start out with those three guys that were all Bill Bush's guys. Those are all Bill Bush's guys that came in this last weekend. I know that, like, you know, Coach Joseph and Coach Rayola and Coach Applewhite obviously are playing a role as a position coach, but from the recruiting area, you know, all three of those guys are in Bill Bush's area. So I think that they have done a great job stacking their list. I'm still sitting on multiple names that I'm trying to confirm for upcoming weekends in June. For more guys that I could be adding to the list here in the next day or two. And it's really amazing to see the changes and the differences between just one year to the next when it comes to some change in the staff. And I think basically more direction and just understanding, you know, the leadership that's there and setting up a plan and kind of moving forward with that plan. So I think that there's been a lot. The revamp is paying off right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we're speaking to Brian Munson, HuskerLine.com. Brian, I mean, there's another one out there. I mean, you've got so much on here right now because you've been busy. I know, man. They offered a 23 D lineman edge rusher in Calker. David Calker. When you look at him, he's out of Des Moines. The question being is, because I think often people think, does Nebraska offer still carry any weight around, right? Because you always hear that. Like, when you're not doing well, do they still carry? I loved his comment. Said the offer meant a lot. He considers it a memorable moment getting a offer from Nebraska. It was a very big moment in my life, and you can't recreate moments like that. I'm thankful that Coach in Nebraska took a chance on a kid from Des Moines. That
I know.
Offer still came. I got goosebumps just reading that.
I got goosebumps when he said it. I mean, incredibly well thought out. Kid, let's be honest, it's a kid and, mm-hmm. and an incredibly well thought out comment. He sees the value in it, you know, and it's not trivial, you know, it's my fifth offer, you know, thank you to Nebraska for my fifth offer. It wasn't that at all. It had its own moment and it's got its own place in his memory. And I tell you what, I don't get too caught up in a lot of things, but when it comes to like comments like that, I will remember that. And I will remember who said that, just because that's how unique and basically, you know, if we're all fortunate enough to have a son that has, you know, that goes through that stuff, you want your son to answer the question that way. Because that was it was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of that, last one before we get you out of here. I have kids that play sports. You have kids that play sports. I always get this question. I help out with my 11-year-old's baseball team, so I'm in the dugout or I'm down the hill, right? So, but as a player parent, I often watch the parents of our players and where they sit at games because it tells a lot about the parent. When you go up to Kearney and watch, are you in the mix or are you like down the line?
Kind of
depends. Because it's not easy.
It kind of depends the role that we're playing, you know. I think I think there have been times where in baseball, I was usually a down the line guy.
Yes.
And in football, I'm usually a between the 40s guy. But I understand what your psychology of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think from sports I have varied. For football, I have been the pacing kind. Game's too close. Something's happened bad. You know, kiddos hurt. Whatever. Those things have happened, obviously. But baseball, I was more a down the line guy. In football, I'm between the 40s guy.
Also, I thought another one. We talked about this today as well. Is there a sport, like we talk about sports and sporting events that you attend or sports that you play still right now, is there a sport or a sporting event that you would go to by yourself?
Sporting event that I would go to by myself?
Yeah, like I've said, for me, it's baseball only. I would only go to a baseball game by myself. Other sports, I have to have someone with me.
I like that idea. I could certainly support it, particularly if I got a nice little pitching battle that I want to go watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and maybe say too. I could see myself going to either the Colonial or the Byron Nelson down here in Dallas. Ooh. By myself. If I was the only person that could get away and go walk the course or had a pavilion kind of pass, I could see myself going ahead and doing a PGA thing. You know, one thing, it's kind of depressing to tell you this, guys. I would actually go watch a Professional Bowler Association match, too, just to kind of see the setting of that. I bowled a lot in my life, and I've always been curious about how that kind of works. It looks like they're right on top of one another in that little small little two-lane setting. So I could see myself also going to a professional bowling match. But I think the other things like football, basketball, I would need to be accompanied by somebody or accompanying them.
I'm only in for bowling if the Weber character can still bowl and react like he does.
What was the clip? Like, I'm the man. What was the thing?
Yeah,
that he's
forget
pointing
that.
To himself?
I remember. I remember that.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Yes, something like that. I'm in for that.
Well, he's wearing sunglasses on TV bowling.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yeah. I've got to see that.
I'm all about that. If that's the case, I'm in for all that. So. Brian, man, we appreciate your time, man. Thanks for taking up with us on a Tuesday. Have a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you real soon, sir.
Sounds good, guys. We'll see you.
See you, Brian.
Good stuff there, Brian Monson, HuskerLine.com. There's a lot going on, man. Did you hear him give you the old inside? I'm sitting on a lot of names right now.
Yeah, and apparently Marcus Washington doesn't want to talk to him.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. It's fine. I mean, some kids are like that. Some kids. And I wasn't going to that to point out the kid. It was that there are kids that are more close to the vet. They just don't want to talk. Maybe it's just they don't like the media side or whatever. But, you know,
well,
simple no. And Brian got it.
Yeah.
And you know what
some
saying?
Guys want to keep things private. Like,
yeah.
How many times nowadays is it actually the player announcing the commitment before?
Yes. Yeah, they just don't want to give anything out. They want to take in their own hands kind of deal. So. We are going to give away that second chance to qualify coming up here in a minute. Tomorrow, Robin Wash at HuskerLine.com. He will join the show. No Jameson. We'll figure the rest out.
Yeah.
Like we do. So, all right, right now, 402-466-3776. 402-466-ESPN. Chance to qualify for Beef Up Your Backyard. Chance to win the Cooker Smoker $100 gift card to Russ's. It's the 10 o'clock hour. It's caller number 10.
Sorry about the long break. See you, Hooks.
See you, bro.